Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax Living.
Hello, I'm Glynis Crook. The powerful El Niño weather phenomenon, a big contributor to last year's record-breaking global temperatures, has faded, and its opposite La Niña is widely expected to make its presence felt sometime soon. El Niño usually brings drought to southern Africa, and the most recent version was true to form. So what can we expect from La Niña? I'm joined now by Dr. Christopher Jack, who's Deputy Director of UCT's Climate System Analysis Group. Chris, welcome to the program. Could you first start just by explaining to us briefly the difference between the two?
Thanks, Glynis, and thanks for the opportunity to speak about this, which is a really important phenomenon. So, yes, as you introduced, last year we saw the emergence of the El Niño weather pattern across the world. But, of course, El Niño is a phenomenon that occurs in the Pacific Ocean, or is initiated, if you like, in the Pacific Ocean. And it's really a slowing down of the tropical trade winds across the whole tropical Pacific Ocean. And those trade winds normally would push warm water westwards towards Indonesia and the maritime continent. But as those trade winds fade, that warm water is able to move back across the Pacific Ocean, warming up large parts of the ocean. And that drives weather pattern changes around the world. It can seem strange that something happening on the other side of the world can impact us in Africa. But the ocean temperatures across the world influence large-scale weather patterns and circulation. The shifts in the Pacific Ocean also influence sea surface temperatures in the Indian Ocean, much closer to us. And so we see these chain effects, or this like domino effect of changing weather patterns around the world under El Niño conditions. In La Niña conditions, the opposite occurs. Those trade winds increase in strength and push more warm water towards the west, towards the maritime continent, north of Australia, Southeast Asia, and similarly has a sort of domino effect for weather around the world. In some ways, it's kind of an opposite effect around the world. So many places where we may experience drought under El Niño conditions, we begin to expect increased rainfall under La Niña conditions. But this isn't, it is not perfectly symmetrical. So certainly there's some regions that respond differently.
If we had a drought in southern Africa under El Niño, does this mean we're likely to see more rain under La Niña?
So El Niño produces drought in southern Africa, particularly the sort of northeastern parts of South Africa into Zimbabwe and heading a bit further north. That is a very typical response. The response to La Niña in southern Africa is a little less clear, but yes, we have in the past seen wetter conditions under La Niña conditions. And similarly, there's a symmetry across East Africa. So as you mentioned in your introduction, East Africa has experienced devastating floods and continues to do, actually, largely attributable to the El Niño event. Under La Niña conditions, East Africa tends to get drier, a little less rainfall, and some other shifts in weather patterns.
But in Eastern Africa, as we mentioned, there's been sort of a combination impact between El Niño and climate change. I mean, they've had, take Kenya, for example, they've had both drought and floods. Is this something that we can expect more going forward, that two weather phenomena and climate change combine to make a more powerful, pronounced impact?
Yes, and I think this is the one thing I'd like to leave the listeners thinking about, is we're now seeing the impacts of El Niño and La Niña that we've seen for decades and decades, but we're seeing that combined with the impacts of increasing temperatures. So some of the extremes that we're seeing now are this combined effect of these natural cycles, which have been there for centuries, and the increasing temperatures and all the weather changes associated with global warming combining to produce very intense events. And if I can just highlight the current projections from the IPCC, also point towards more extreme weather responses to these natural cycles of El Niño and La Niña.
So going forward now with La Niña, which we're expecting to arrive when?
So El Niño and La Niña tend to emerge in the northern hemisphere autumn and the southern hemisphere spring, so later in the year. We would see it starting to emerge around June, July into August, and really developing full strength December into January. It doesn't really influence our winter rainfall here in the Western Cape. So if La Niña does emerge, we would expect to see the influence in the summer rainfall regions in the early part of the summer rainfall season, so in November, December this year.
You mentioned the winter in the Cape. What about the summer when we get there?
Yeah, well, El Nino conditions typically produce higher temperatures around the world. So under El Nino conditions, we would have expected a warm temperatures and right through the winter. La Nina tends to cool things a little bit. So for the winter season, I wouldn't expect significantly different winter for the Western Cape as a result of La Nina. There are other factors that influence our winter season and our winter temperatures and rainfall.
Thanks there to Dr. Christopher Jack, Deputy Director of UCT's Climate System Analysis Group. And that's it for this week. From me, Glynis Crook, take care and goodbye. Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
For Galinda Moser, founder of RE/MAX Living, life is all about people, their homes, the environment, and of course, music. Because of Galinda's passion for property, RE/MAX Living has become the largest property office in Cape Town. When selling your home, email Galinda at remaxliving.co.za. As your trusted property partner, RE/MAX Living is by far the best way to sell and buy real estate. RE/MAX, the leaders in real estate.
FM.